Okay, well, let's pray. God, you're so good. We love you so much. We thank you for our time together today. We thank you that you love us so much. We thank you that you share your word with us and we share it with others. Thank you, Father, that we are your blessed people. In Jesus' name, amen. Say again. Okay. How about now? Keep it down here. Lips. Speaking. Okay, how about now? Now?
Better.
Just
Should I
pretend to
talk
talk to
louder?
the fellowship hall and talk
Yeah.
louder.
I'll talk.
Way
Just
up.
laugh a little bit.
Way.
No, not this lady. She can do.
Later.
Just speak louder. How about now?
Okay.
Okay.
Lady bend that up.
I'm gonna have to shout.
I can hear you. Straight thing bent.
Yeah.
So you can play.
I was trying not to bend it because I felt like, is that all right? Just bend it.
Bend.
I just bent it. I bent the thing. Okay. Right. Okay, so there's a title to this message, and it's called The Language of Faith. So Galatians 5, chapter 6 says this. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. So here's the English, the ESV, the English Standard Version, I think it is. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. So here's the Living Bible translation. And we to whom Christ has given eternal life don't need to worry about whether we have been circumcised or not, or whether we are obeying the Jewish ceremonies or not. For all we need is faith working through love. And then here's the message, the last part of the message verse says this: What matters is something far more interior, faith expressed in love. Faith has a language. Its language is love. Ephesians 3:17 says this: That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and established in love, may be able to comprehend, that's understand, with all the saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Here's the ESV version. Paul prays that we, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now here's the Living Bible. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts, living within you as you trust in him. Remember, we're talking about the language of faith. Faith is trust. May your roots grow down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. I really like that. And may you be able to feel and understand. You know, the word was saying comprehend. Another way of knowing God's love is to actually feel God's love and understand, as all God's children should, how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is, and to experience this love for yourselves. And so to at last be filled up with God himself. We're talking about faith and how it works through love. So we'll talk a little bit more about love. So here's 1 John 4, 7, a verse that I learned when I was a little girl. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God towards us, because he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, which means wrath satisfied, for our sins. So here's the English Standard Version. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And whoever loves has been born of God and knows God. Anyone who does not love does not know God, because God is love. In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, made real among us, that God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we have loved God first, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation, which means wrath satisfied, for our sins. Here it is in the Message. My beloved friends, let us continue to love each other, since love comes from God. Everyone who loves is born of God and experiences, there's that word again, experiences, we're talking about faith and love, a relationship with God. The person who refuses to love doesn't know the first thing about God, because God is love. So you can't know him if you don't know love. This is how God showed his love for us. God sent his only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is the kind of love we are talking about. Not that we once upon a time loved God first, but that he loved us and sent his Son as a sacrifice to clear away our sins, and the damage they've done to our relationship with God, the damage that our sins can do to our concept of our relationship with God, how we think our relationship with God is. So here's 1 John 4:16. And so we know and rely on the love of God. This is an important point. So we know and rely on the love of God that he has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in him. And 1 John 4:19, we love because he first loved us. He's our example. We love because he first loved us. So all that I talked about there with love and faith working by love, let's keep that in mind as we talk about what God said in the beginning. Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, this is verse 3. God said, let there be light, and there was light. So there's a part in the chapter there in Genesis that says it was dark over the surface of the earth, and the Spirit of God hovered over the surface of the earth, and then there was light. So light appeared. Now, John George was here a few weeks ago, and he said, a better translation would be God saying, light be. That's what he said. So this is an example of the creative force of words, the creative power of words. Remember, God was hovering over the surface of the earth and it was dark. And then he called to light. He said, light be. So that's a creative force working. That's a creative force. Words as a creative force. So listen to this. This is Malachi chapter 3, verses 16 through 18. Then those who feared the Lord talked with each other, and the Lord listened and heard. A scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared the Lord and honored his name. The Lord said, they will be mine, says the Lord Almighty. In the day when I make up my treasured possession, I will spare them, just as in compassion a man spares his son who serves him. And you will again see the distinction between those who serve God and those who do not. That's what the Lord said in Malachi. So I want to repeat this first part here. Then those who fear the Lord talked with each other. So there are some people who love the Lord, who fear the Lord, who were having a conversation, and the Lord listened and heard. Have you thought about that? That God listens to people who talk about him. God listens to people who are talking about him, the people who fear him, the people who are honoring him. Well, he listens to everyone. But he was particularly interested in the people who serve him, who were talking about him. God listens to our conversations. Those who serve God, who honor him, who trust him, who believe in the power of his name, compared to those who trust in how things might be, or how things are, or what they see before them, those who don't honor him, those who don't trust or believe in the power of his name. So there's a difference there. So there's people that honor the Lord, who fear him, who believe in his name. And then there's people that just don't. They don't honor him. They don't trust him, nor do they believe in the power of his name. Now, the people I just described, they don't have an intimate knowledge. Remember, we were looking at some verses that said having faith in God and having an experiential knowledge of his love, not just knowing about his love, but experiencing his love. Those people that I described don't have an intimate knowledge of God, nor esteem him as they should. So what this verse in Malachi is saying is that what we say about God is of great significance to him and of great significance to us. We're talking about the language of faith. God listens to us as we speak. The language of faith. The faith language. John George was here a couple Wednesdays ago, and he also said there's a language for things. Like I'm bringing up an example about the French language. Fermez la porte. That means shut the door. I was thinking about different languages. Dogs actually can understand different languages. You know, think about a dog who was raised in France. If you're going to tell him to stop, you're going to say, arrete, or maybe that's Spanish, but you're going to tell the dog to stop in a different language, and that dog is going to understand that language because he was raised in France. Compared to a dog that is raised in America and under the language of English, you're going to say stop to that dog. He or she is going to understand that language. So there's a language for things. That's what John George was talking about a few weeks ago. There's a language, a thing. Well, faith has a language too. And that language is love. We've been talking about those first verses in Ephesians where it says, Ephesians 3, where did it go? There it is. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and established in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints. So Christ dwelling in our hearts by faith, faith that God gave us, so that we can understand and have experiential knowledge of the love of God. That's what faith is for. That's one reason why we have faith. So I want to go over Malachi again. I just think it's very interesting the fact that God listened and heard the people talking about the Lord. And a scroll of remembrance was written in his presence concerning those who feared and honored his name. He wrote it down, the things that people said about him. Jesus asked Peter, he said, what do men say about me? Remember that? So Jesus did exactly what God was doing in Malachi. He was listening to what the people were saying. Jesus asked Peter, who do men say I am? Jesus asked Peter, what are people saying about me? God's interested in what we're saying about him. God's interested in the words that we speak. The language of faith. God said, light be. He essentially called those things that be not as though they were. So that's in Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. So we're talking about the creative force of words. We're talking about having a faith language, a language of faith. God being our example in the beginning, he said, light be. He called to light, and light responded. Romans chapter 4, verse 16. So he says, boy, there's so much to break up here. Therefore, the promise comes by faith, so that it may be by grace and may be guaranteed to all of Abraham's offspring, that's us, not only to those who are of the law, but those who are of the faith of Abraham. So of the law being those, the Jews, and how they followed the law, but of us who are also of the faith of Abraham. He is the father of us all, that's Abraham. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. So this verse, this is Paul talking to the Romans. He's talking about how God, not only does he give life to the dead, he's talking about Abraham's body. He was 100 years old, and it would be, and Sarah, whose body was also old, and he had promised Sarah and Abraham that they would deliver a child. And so if you look on the natural side of that, you'd wonder how that would be possible since Abraham and Sarah were so old. But Abraham's name was Abraham. God changed his name to Abraham, which means father of many nations. So even before Abraham became the father of many nations on this earth where he could see it, God was already calling him the father of many nations, Abraham. God was calling those things that be not as though they were. Like he said, light be. Light already was. It was already in existence, but it wasn't in the seen realm. It was in God's realm. So light be. He was calling to light something that he already created, but we couldn't see on this earth. The creative force of words, that's what he's given to us. That's the faith language, being able to call something that you know exists, but you can't see it here. God being our example, saying light be, he called those things that were not, meaning that couldn't see them in the realm of the earth that at that time he was hovering over the darkness of the earth. But light was. Light, it was. It already was. It was, he'd already created it, but it just wasn't on the earth. So he's being our example there. When he is telling Abraham that you're the father of many nations, and Abraham's old, and his wife is old. But he said, this is what's going to happen. I've already said it's going to happen. And Abraham, he said, okay, I believe you. So if you look further down here, this is just so cool. Against all hope, verse 18 in Romans 4. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. Not only does God have the power to do what he's promised, but he's willing. He's willing. And what Abraham did was he hooked up his faith to God's willingness. That's what Abraham did. So God said, light be. Now we are created in God's image so that we can do the same thing that God does. If he loves, we can love. If he calls things, we can call things because we are his people. Okay. I am not saying to pretend like a circumstance doesn't exist. Finances, there's a problem with finances, or if there's a health issue. I'm not saying pretend like those things aren't there. I am saying that what we regard, what we look at, what we think about, and ultimately what we say are of significance. Because we are his people, Jesus is our Savior. He's our brother. We should act like our family. God's our family. We're in the family of God. We should act like our family. We should speak like them. We should do what they do. God loves, so do we. God calls things into existence, so do we. This is what the Amplified says about Abraham. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations. He was appointed our father in the sight of God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and speaks of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they already existed. So light already was. It just wasn't on the face of the earth. God called light into existence on the face of the earth. So shall we. So if we're facing a health situation, or we're facing a financial situation, we're facing a relationship situation, there's a way that things already are in heaven. And since we are citizens of heaven, we should be talking like citizens of heaven and calling things that be not as though they are here on this earth. So Father, there's in heaven, there's no lack in heaven. There's no sickness in heaven. So we call those things that aren't acting the way they should on earth here, we call those things as they should be here on earth. This is what I mean. That fig tree that Jesus cursed, I used to think about that tree and think, what? You know, he cursed the tree, that poor tree. And what did that tree do? That tree was out of order. Remember, he went to the tree because the tree had leaves on it, like it was ready for figs. But the tree was out of order. It had leaves on it, but it wasn't the season for figs. But the tree had leaves on it like it should have figs on it. So it was out of order. So that's what we should be doing. When we see things that are out of order, we should act like Jesus. We should act like God and call those things that be not as though they were. That's a faith language based in love. Remember, the word said that faith works by love. Not that we loved God first, but that he loved us and gave his son for us. So our faith works on the basis that we know that God loves us, that he's willing. Not only we know so much that he is able, but do we know, do we have a full understanding that he's willing? That's what speaks to my heart. I know he's able because he's God, but I need to know that he's willing. That's what I need to know. So let's look at this verse. Galatians 5:6 again, availeth. Remember Galatians 5:6. I'll go back up to the top here. For in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith, which worketh by love. So this verse is saying, it doesn't matter if you're circumcised. It doesn't matter if you're not circumcised. Those things don't have power. But faith, which works by love, that has power. So that's what the word is talking about. So let's talk a little bit more about that. Availeth means to be strong, to prevail, a forceful strength or ability. Our faith, when we understand God's love for us, it has power. That's why our faith works. When we understand God's regard for us, when we understand his love for us, that he loved us first, that's how our faith works. Let's see. Our faith is exercised when we begin to understand and experience his love for us. So For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision counts for anything, but only faith working through love. Being circumcised or not being circumcised doesn't give you power. Faith, that is our power, and it's activated by love. So Pastor Mary brought up a principle last week that was so very cool. I want to share it again because it ties into the language of faith. She talked about Mark 11:23, saying, have faith in God. That's the first part of 11:23, Mark 11:23. Another translation reads this, have the God kind of faith. And here's how. Jesus tells you how. I tell you the truth, if anyone says to this mountain, go throw yourself into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he says will happen, it will be done for him. And then she mentioned Proverbs 18, verse 21. Proverbs 18, verse 21. She said that she was revelating, and this occurred to her. Proverbs 18:21. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I did not understand that. I did not understand love it will eat its fruit. I was thinking, okay, I just did not understand that. Well, here is what she brought out. The tongue has the power of life and death. So casting the mountain into the sea is the death side. The destroying things like wrong attitudes, standing against and taking authority over things that are not of God, talking to those things and they will respond. So that's the death side. That's the mountain. You talk to the mountain and you tell it to throw itself into the sea. She was talking about how a cold responds to voice, how a fever responds. So even our wrong attitudes can respond to our voice. Remember, our creative force, our faith words, our faith language, speaking to those wrong attitudes, standing against and taking authority over things that are not of God. That's our faith language. That's the death side. That's very important. So here's the rest. Mark 11:24 is the life side of Proverbs 18:21. Therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it, and you will be yours, and it will be yours. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So they that love the principle, that understand the principle of speaking the language of faith. When we yield to this principle, we'll eat the fruit of our words. The words we speak are so important. That's why the Book of Remembrance was made. That's why we can see a difference between those who love this principle and those who do not honor or understand the principle of speaking the language of faith. In God, hope is never lost. His word says that three things remain: faith, hope, and love. With the greatest of these things being love. All we have to do is recognize his love for us and speak that. We can learn the language of faith and use it.